Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
So let's go ahead and we're going to get into our Casket Empty series. And so if you're a guest here or first time with us, we've been in this is actually week 16 of a series where we're going through the entire Bible this year. And so we're at a fun section here this morning. And before we do it, like I gotta ask you a couple questions. So so maybe this is just me, I don't know. But did anyone find it odd the first time you heard your voice on recording? Anyone else have that? Where you listen to that and you're like, shut up, that is not me, right? I do not sound like that, right? Isn't it startling, you know, you do that? And then I personally had a startling thing, like, men, you'll feel me on this, is because, ladies, you know, a lot of times we just kind of, guys look in the mirror and they're just kind of like, it's good, you know, and just walk away. And so we kind of don't know often what's going on. And so we do Facebook Live. I want to say hey to everybody out there watching Facebook Live. But I noticed that there was a bald guy in the front row worshiping. And then I realized that guy's me. All right? I was like, why did no one tell me that was going on up there on the top of my head? And so once again, it was just, I was startled to know, oh, okay, I didn't know that was happening up there. And then oftentimes, too, that there was, I realized this. So I've been retired from pro hockey for, geez, I retired in 2002. And so it's been a while. So, Jerry, I don't know if you find this or not, but the longer I get retired from the game, the more awesome I was in my mind, okay? and then every now and then, I'll see some old footage, and I'll go, oh, yeah, I stunk. I really wasn't that good, you know? But kind of a cool slash fun thing was, does anyone play video games in here? So we got a lot of a few gamers in here. That's cool. Like, just so everyone knows, Jazzy, so you know, when I was growing up and when your daddy was growing up, the video games had one button, one joystick, and it made one noise over and over and over again. Now, like, you get these games, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have a seizure, you know, like, trying to do everything, and so that's going on. But so one cool thing happened. So back in 2000, I don't know if you know this, but I'm in a video game. I'm in the video game. It's NHL 2000, and so I found out I'm in the game. in all humility, you know. Are you kidding me? I went out and bought that game. I'm like giving it out as Christmas gifts and that kind of stuff. And I just could not wait to start playing NHL 2000 with me as the star player. And so we're playing the video game. And then it kind of hit me. I was like, my guy stinks. Like, is not good. And I'm getting really more and more frustrated. And whoever I played against, they would beat me, you know. And so finally I'm like, I stink. And then it comes to find out there's a rating that they give you, and it determines how good a player you are. And so I look up my rating. I'm a 67. I'm a out of 100. I'm a 6. So in school, that would have got me a D-, all right? But I passed, so get off of me, okay? So I'm a D- when it comes to that. I'm a 67. And so it's funny, when I read the scriptures, in Romans chapter 7, and we'll begin there, Romans chapter 7, verse 18, I feel like Paul has this epiphany. Paul, the apostle Paul, is going to realize, uh-oh, I'm a 67. I'm only a 67. And so let's read this. In Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 18, Paul says this, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." And all God's people said. Yeah, verse 19. "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so here's what I want you to see is Paul saying, oh my gosh, that he finds himself in this rut and in this cycle, this circle. The things I don't want to do, I keep doing. And the things that I want to do, I don't seem to be able to do them. He's like, ah, I'm a 67. What a wretched man I am. How can I get out of this? And he reckons it to this. Did you read? We read here, he says, who will deliver me from this body of death? And what he's referring to is the Roman practice. It was torture. So if you were guilty of murdering somebody, one of the ways they would torture you or punish you as Romans is they would take the deceased body and they would tie the corpse to the perpetrator face to face. And they would bind you together and this dead carcass would be trapped on your body until either gangrene set in or you lost your mind. And so Paul says, this body of death is on me. Who will set me free from this? But did you notice how it ended? He says, praise be to Christ is the one who's going to set me free. And so we're in this series, Casket Empty. And so I want to just recap briefly. Casket Empty, remember, casket is kind of synonymous for the storyline throughout the Old Testament. C is creation, A is Abraham. Now we're on S, which is Sinai. Sinai is the mountain of God. And you remember this, Sinai is the mountain where Charlton Heston went up to the top and got the Ten Commandments and came down, okay? I'm revealing my age here today, right? But, Moses gets the Ten Commandments. You remember last week we talked about Moses and Pharaoh, who had enslaved God's people. He asked God this question, who is the Lord that I should obey him? God do? God flexed 10 times with 10 plagues until, do you know what Pharaoh's reply was after the 10th plague? Go, get out of here. And then he says this, and bless me, all right? And so suddenly Pharaoh's not that all that high and mighty. But something odd happens when God delivers the people out of Egypt. God, Canaan land, or the promised land, is north. But do you know where they headed? They headed, God sent them south. Have you ever had that? Like, it sounds like a New Jersey left-hand turn to me, doesn't it? Right? You got to go right to go left. And I can't tell you how often God will have us go right. Eventually, you're going to get left, but God wants to add some things or maybe subtract some things from your life to prepare you. And so God's got to prepare his people before you enter into the promised land. He says, these people don't know war. They're going to get into a fight, and they're going to run back to Egypt. And so God had to prepare their hearts. What does God do? Parts the Red Sea, right? Destroys Pharaoh, and suddenly the people of God get a new revelation of who this God is. Oh, this is the mighty God. And so they begin to see that. And then I am so glad that the people of God have changed now, because they crossed through the Red Sea, and Moses in Exodus chapter 15, he busts out in song. I mean, he's letting out, he's singing, and all the people are worshiping. You know, they're doing that. Then his sister Miriam, she breaks into her own fresh groove, and she starts singing. They're celebrating how amazing God is. And even before the music hasn't even died out yet. And you know what happens? They come to a body of water. They're thirsty, and the water's bitter, and they start complaining to God. They call the place, the body of water is called Marah, or bitter. And so they start grumbling and complaining. Do you believe that? Like, that singing didn't stop that fast. And then I'm so glad we don't do that anymore. Then after God gives them the water to drink, then they start grumbling. I mean, they don't even end the chapter yet. We're hungry. We want something to eat. It was better back in Egypt. So what does God do? And listen, if I'm God, I'm killing all these fools and getting new people, all right? But aren't you glad I'm not God? He rains down manna from heaven. Bread falls from the sky, and he teaches God's people to live by faith that God's going to provide each and every day. It doesn't stop there, because then they start whining, we're sick of bread. All we get to eat is this bread that falls from the sky, right? And so God sends them quail, sends them meat to eat. And so time and time again, and listen, this is a side road. It's not even my message, but may we be a people with grateful hearts, that we see all God's goodness. The scripture is so clear that every good and perfect thing, anything good in your life, It's from the Lord. It's from the Lord. And so let's be those people. But then when they get to the mountain of God, Mount Sinai, and God calls Moses up to the top. And then we all know what happens. Big Mo gets the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments. It's also known as the Decalogue, the Ten Words. And so I only want to answer one question today, but that doesn't mean it'll be quick, okay? But one question is this. What's the law for? Like, what's it for? If I could use my video game illustration, like sometimes I think many of us, we approach the law of God, the Ten Commandments, like it is a video game. Like we get in this thing and we're just trying to get a high score. You know, just beat the person next to us, right? And so, man, didn't lie. Yes, yes, I got that. You know, keep going. Oh, I didn't covet. I didn't covet. You know, I got another one. And so you're beating the fool next to you and you're like thinking you're doing amazing, right? And then the one that gets all the men, don't lust. Oh, got me, right? And so listen, the reality is the Ten Commandments aren't designed for you to get high score. You can't. You're a 67, so am I. And it's not, the Ten Commandments aren't a ladder by which we climb up to God. The gospel is crystal clear. It says that we are saved by grace through faith and not by works of the law. And so what's the law for? What are the Ten Commandments for? I'm glad you asked, because that's what we're going to talk about. Let me give you this. So here's my point number one is this, is that the law will show us what God is like and what we're like. So the Ten Commandments, they reveal the heart of God and they reveal our heart. Romans chapter 7, verses 10 to 13. Romans 7, I'm going to start in verse 10, says this, the very commandment that promised life. And so you need to take note of that. The commands are about leading you and leading me into flourishing life. So the commandments that promised life proved to be death to me. You know why? Because I can't keep them. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it, it killed me. Verse 12, so the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Remember, the law is going to tell us something about who God is. Holy, good, loving. Verse 13, did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. And so the law reveals to us the heart of God. And so I was thinking about this. I wish, could you please, like, talk to me after service? Because I want to know what you're like. We started giggling in my household because I was, like, asking my wife and my daughter. I'm like, hey, babies, what are the weird laws, you know, that we have in our home? Because when you go into someone's home, you all got your thing, all right? We just all have. And so I started giggling. Like, my wife, like, if there is anything dirty on the stove, loses her mind. And so it's like we splash anything when we're cooking. Cassie and my daughter and I were like, oh, no, Jesus, you know, get that, get it off, you know, like that. Because my wife is going about to manifest, all right? She's not here, so I feel much more liberty this morning. My wife, too, she the bed has to be made every day, which I think is ridiculous because you're just going to get back into it. I do not understand that at all. And so we learned something about my wife. Is she has a clean spirit, man. Like, she is just that person, and so that's who she is. And then I was trying to think about myself, and I did not like what I figured out. You know what's funny is, if I go downstairs and we have in our kitchen counter, there's bar stools up there, and if they are not lined up, I lose my mind. I'm like, no, they got to be there. I line them up. I noticed this, too. As a kid, I grew up, I was like, we were like middle to lower class, like trailer trash. Like, anyways, I thought we were awesome, and then I realized, wow, we were really not very awesome, you know? And so I remember, like, growing up, we had none of our stuff matched. So, like, our cups, they would have, like, gas station cups and these kind of cups. And so I was like, for whatever reason, everything's got to match. If we don't have, like, matching glasses and silverware, I just lose my mind, all right? Is this revealing something about me? So you realize I'm OCD, and I didn't even know it. So I want to know what yours are, all right? Because I need a good giggle this afternoon. But here's what we find out. See, we find out from the law of God that God's holy, that he's good. So the commands of God show us that about him. And here's what's amazing is that, do you know that the law, even people would say that the law of God is good, even if you're not a Christian. Paul's going to say later on, he goes, you know what? The Gentiles don't even have the law, and they obey the law. Isn't that crazy? It's a little thing called conscience. Have you ever heard of that? It's funny, I can never remember how to spell it. Conscience, right? It doesn't even seem like it would make. But con means with, and science is knowledge. We all walk with knowledge of what's right and good and what's wrong. And so Paul's point is this: they don't even have the law and they're following it. Why? Because we know that the law is good, right? And so it tells us about who God is. And here's what you need to see as well. Did you know that the law that Moses just gave them is 430 years after God made a promise with Abraham, is I'm going to make your family and your people great, and I'm going to bless the world through you. That's 430 years that there was no law, and yet now they get into the wilderness, and God gives people law. And I want to tell you, it's an amazing thing that God did that. Because the law, think about this, a people that have known nothing but slavery, and now they get out, and now they get to make their own rules. How many parents in here today? Okay, great, a lot of us. So is anybody up for letting your 9-year-old make the rules in your home? Come on, it would be fun for a little bit, right? Come on, could you imagine what would be on the menu from your 9-year-old? Like, you're going to be living on Nerds and Smarties and Starbursts, right, the whole time. Could you imagine? That kid would never sleep. They'd be at video game the whole time and do. So, I mean, right, you don't let your 9-year-old, and so God's not letting a new, immature people make up the rules. But what happens? You as the adult, you make up rules. Why? For human flourishing in your home and your household. Has anyone ever been to like a third world or kind of a growing country, you know, a little bit less? And so has anyone ever driven there? So, I mean, we were in the DR. This is before people started dying over there. We were in the DR on vacation. And I remember driving, and it's like, there is no rules. You just make it up as you go. And I just, a couple times, like, we're going to die, right? Because there's no, because laws and rules, what? It leads to flourishing in society as well. By the way, I don't know any moviegoers, but they made a movie about that there's no law in our nation for 12 hours. Do you remember this one? It's called The Purge. It's a terror film, okay? And so I started thinking, like, could you imagine if they did away with law for 12 hours here? Now, the darker side of me, I started making a list. I was like, oh, man, I could kill that person? Don't worry. That person's not in here. Never mind. Wait. Oh, he is here. So never mind. So, no. But so you can see, right? So it's this idea of law is good, and it leads to human flourishing. And so what I need us to see is this. A lot of times my view of the commands of God can be prison bars to keep us from, rather than guardrails to lead us into life flourishing. And that's how we need to see it. And so God gives the Ten Commands. He says, hey, don't lie. It's going to lead to flourishing. Hey, love your wife. Hey, just be happy and content with what God's given to you. And he says, this is what's going to lead to flourishing and life abundant. And so the law tells us not just what God's like, but he tells us what you and I are like. And just to shoot you straight, it's not always very attractive. I'm assuming everyone has had an x-ray at some point in their life. Think of the commands of God like an x-ray. So I'll take you back to sometime Jerry's here, so I get to tell fight stories. So I remember when we were playing against the Boston Bruins, and so Boston had a notorious tough guy. His name is Rick Tocchet, much tougher than me. And I don't know why, I had an out-of-body experience, but I dropped the gloves and we started fighting, right? And so we're fighting, and then something strange, like, never think when you're in a fight. Because I remember starting thinking, I'm like, I am doing really good this fight. And all of a sudden, he grabs me with the other hand, and he hits me so hard on the left side of my face, and I thought my eyeball fell out. And so I had to go to the penalty box, and so I was kind of bleeding all over the place. And then finally I realized, as I'm sitting in the penalty box, I think I'm going to pass out. So I was like, you need to let me out of here. And so they took me in an ambulance, and so we went to the hospital, and we got there. They shot a few x-rays. And so I remember the surgeon, he's showing me, he's like, Mr. Burt, he says, you see all them white pieces right there on the side of your face? Yeah, that's what used to be your orbital bone. And he says, it looks like someone took a shotgun and blew up the left side of your face. And so, but can I let you know something? Good news, I lived, all right? But that, you know, when I went in the x-ray, he didn't go, you're all better now. Like, x-rays don't heal you. I was going to need the surgeon. He was the one who's going to fix me and make me better. And so the law, it can't heal us, can't fix us. It just shows us that we're broken. But how many know that's a great position to be in? Because now we're ready for the great physician, the healer, the surgeon, to do surgery inside of us. And so the law is a gift from God. And so I'm just going to do this just in case there might be any self-righteous folk in here today. All right? I enjoy this part of the ministry. So the Bible says, thou shalt not lie. Any liars in here? Great. And if you didn't raise your hand, you're lying right now. Boom! One for one. Ladies, I'm just going to speak to you this morning. All right? Thou shalt not covet. Come on, you ever see that girl? I mean, she got that bag. Why does she get that bag? She doesn't have that bag, right? Come on, there's all that, you know, that hairdo, that dress, that guy, whatever. You fill in the blank. Right? Ladies, come on, I should get a collective amen. Fellas, I'm going to blow all of you out of the water. Like it says, thou shalt not commit adultery, but Jesus ratchets it up. He says, if you look at a woman lustfully, boom, blew you all out of the water. Fellas, don't move if you're here with your spouse, all right? So you're like, he's crazy. I don't know what you're talking about. No, not me, honey. And then here's the one that I'll get everyone. I'm going to reveal to you that we're lawless people. How many have ever broken your own law? Right? I am not going to eat that. Boom. Right? I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow. Boom. Right? And so on and on we could go. We're lawbreakers. But once again, that's the greatest news in the world. Because now we know, oh, I'm sick. I need a savior. And so the good news, and listen, God's not surprised. You might be surprised that you have a sinful, there's a brokenness inside of you. God's not. Do you know that in the book of Exodus chapter 20, God gives the law? Do you know what the next book of the Bible is? Leviticus. And you know what that, the whole book is about when you break the law, here's how you fix it with a sacrifice. That entire book. So he gives the law. Yeah, you're probably going to miss it. So here we go, Leviticus, to make it right. God has a provision in the New Testament. You know what it is? You're a sinner. You break the law. The cross of Jesus Christ. The one and once and forever sacrifice, Jesus Christ. And so here's another thing that the law does. The law is our guardian to keep us until Christ comes. He's our guardian. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23. Verse 23 says this, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. And so this word guardian, I believe it's the word, I got to look it up, pedagogue. It's this idea of a tutor, of a mentor. So when kids are young, you get a tutor or mentor until we bring them up into maturity, and now they're prepared to flourish on their own. And so he says the law was there while we're young and immature to bring us and hand us off into maturity or being having a heart for Jesus Christ. So ladies, I'm going to let you in on a secret. You might not know this, but it's true, is that men, for whatever reason, have been given an eye for beauty. And guess what? You're the beauty, ladies. And it's just true. So every now, like you might catch your guy doing the eye turn or something like that. And just, let me just tell you, it's God ordained, all right? Because they're trained. And so New York Jets facility, they have an entire wall. And it's a picture of the stadium at MetLife Stadium, the entire crowd, okay? And it's a 100-yard hallway, and all you do is see all these faces of the MetLife crowd, and I do this experiment with every guy when I take them in, and so I tell them, I'm like, brother, this display here is filled with, there's a bunch of pretty women, but there's one woman who's exceptional looking in here. I want you to find him. 100 yards, thousands of people, and every single guy I know went, and he's able to pick out the same girl every time. I want to tell you something. I got that girl, all right? I married that girl in high school because there's one fine-looking girl in school, and I got that girl. I don't know how I did it. In fact, I got that girl, and I knew I married way over my head, so I had to get a ring on her fast before she realized it. But I want to give you, I said all that to say this. I want to give you, do you know why I don't cheat on my wife? I'm going to give you some reasons. All right, here's the first one is this. I don't think I could marry that good again, all right, just to shoot you straight, okay? Here's number two is this, is that I think it would devastate my daughters. In fact, my daughter Cassie, she says, either one of you ever cheat on each other, I will never speak to you again, all right? So we got that one. I'm guessing I'm going to lose my job, all right? And the fourth one is this, is I would shame the name of Christ, and I would never want to do that. But, you know, I just listened to you a lot of really good reasons why I shouldn't cheat on my wife. And do you know none of those reasons are the reasons why I don't cheat on my wife? It's because I love my wife that I don't do that, okay? Now, listen, we're not always up and to the right in my home. Can I get an amen from married people? Like, sometimes, you know, it's very difficult. And when love is not there in full strength, when I'm so glad that there's other things that come along to support. And so I'm going to do a little, like I brought a prop for you today. And so about 3 or 4 years ago, I had back surgery. And so I had my back fused in 4 vertebrae or something like that. So if this looks nasty, it's because it is, all right, because I worked out in this thing for like a year. And then just another thing, just so you, the state of our medical system, $1,500 for this, all right? Exactly. It's a piece of plastic. So what I had to do is I had to put this on. Let's see if I can get this on still. I don't even know if I can. So I had to put this thing on. Lord, help us. There we go. It's been a while. So I had to put this thing on. You know, I wore this to the gym one time, or not one time. I wore it all the time. And a guy's like, man, that's a great weight belt. Where do you get that? I'm like, no, you don't want this. So I got to put this thing on. And so here's my little picture for you this is what the law is. It's a guardian. See, God's perfect plan for us is love, that we love Jesus. Therefore, that's why we obey the commandments. But can we agree that sometimes love, man, for Jesus is just, it feels like it's overpowered by lust in our heart for other things. And so, therefore, the law becomes this good thing to supply support until love can grow and flourish inside of our heart. And so that's kind of the big idea. If you know your scripture at all, you'll know this, that John is the apostle of love. Do you remember that? So he wrote the Gospel of John. And then 1 John is only 5 chapters long. Do you know what? He uses the word love 46 times. He's like, love, 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 love. I mean, this guy is love everything. And then in 1 John 5:3, it won't be on the screen, but John says this. He says, for this is love of God, that we keep his commands, and his commands aren't burdensome. Can I just shoot you straight, like be honest? And maybe you can agree with me. Sometimes God's commands are burdensome to me. They just are, you know? And so can I give you an example? Like, here's what I know, that God's not after your behavior, he's after your heart. But if he gets your heart, your behavior will follow. And so, but sometimes God tells me to do things and I don't want to do them. Can I tell you, like, the greatest weakness for me is God's commands are not burdensome until I get behind the wheel and I start driving my car. How many know then the commands of God feel like a burden and an extreme weight to me in them? And so there's don't murder, don't be angry, but when I get behind the wheel, sometimes I want to do that. And just so transparency is, there's been moments like I've got out of my car, rapped on a guy's window and said, come on, get out. And while I was a pastor, and then there's multiple times I've pulled up and followed guys, you come on, get out, you know, and do all these things. And listen, I'm not proud of it. I'm a 67. Get off of me. All right. And so, these are kind of my moments. And so we're driving down 80, bumper to bumper traffic. We're just stopped, and everyone's kind of taking turns, kind of going into line. I'm late. I'm supposed to meet with Hack, and I'm late. And so then the semi gets over, and he just cuts me off. And even that I could be okay with. But then he opens up his door, and he gives me a sign like this. And you want to know what I did? I did. And I tell you what, I almost freaked out because I'm like, what? Did I just do that? No one was more surprised than me that I just did that. And you know what that is? That's like, man, I can take this off. Now I don't have to wear this because guess what? God gave me a new heart in there. Like, I'm like, now when I'm driving, I'm like, God, that's new. I didn't have to muster that up or nothing. You just did it, and it made me giggle while I was driving. And so for me, that was evidence and a token. Wow, God's doing something on the inside of me. And so God wants to write his law upon our heart. Then we can take the back brace off, and we don't have to wear it. There's a guy, St. Augustine. If you don't know this, as a young man, he's an early church father, but as a young man, he was a wicked dude. I don't know if you know this, wicked man. He was a player, ladies, do you know what I'm talking about? He was a player. And then he had a brilliant mind, but he would just live in debauchery all the time. He had a mom that loved Jesus. Her name was Monica. And she was on her face before the Lord. Oh, God, save my son. Save my son. Save my son. So Augustine's testimony is this, as he was walking through the streets of Rome, he walked through a park. And there was actually a little girl singing a little nursery rhyme. And it went like this, take up and read, take up and read, take up. And it got stuck in his head. Parents, who've ever been there? I love you, right? And it kind of gets stuck in your head. And so he's like, take up and read. And for whatever reason, he was prompted to read the Bible. And he did what we do like Bible roulette. And then he turned to Romans chapter 13, verse 13 and 14. And it reads like this, let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing, in drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. And he became a Christian in that moment. And so we see that. And so suddenly he becomes born again and something's new on the inside of him. But how many know, man, you get born again in an instant, but God's still got to work out some things. Like there's a wrestle going on in our hearts now. And so he's still drawn to these sexual perversions and these things. He actually prayed a prayer to the Lord. He says, God, make me chaste, but just not now. All right? And so that was what he was saying. And so, but here's the amazing story. As he leaned into the Lord and began to love Jesus, this love began to do something different in his heart. And then one of his girls that he would hook up with in one of the cities met him, tapped him on the shoulder. She whispers in his ear, Augustine, it's I. And he replies this, but it's no longer I. He's like, God's given me a new heart. And so we see this transforming power. I'm going to leave you with this last quote is this. Now Augustine, late in life, he had this revelation. He says, take all the commands. You know, there's 10 commandments. And then inside of those 10 commandments, there's 613 laws. And yet what would God do? Jesus would boil it down to one, love God and love your neighbor, right? And so Augustine would say this, love God and do as you please. Isn't that, it's almost terrifying. It's almost scary to know, oh, do as you please, are you sure? But he says, if you love God, you're going to do that. And so I'm going to end with this. I've already said this, but I'm a 67, all right? I'm a 67. Paul says, what can I do? Who can save me from this body of death? He says, praise Christ. Christ is the one who's starting to change my heart. And so we talk about like the joystick kind of game here. I'm a 67, but you know what? As I learn to surrender and give the controller to Jesus and give him control of my life, suddenly I'm unstoppable. Now I love what he loves and hate what he hates, and I start living my life like he lived.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Or for more information on our church, or just go to our website, emcnj.org.